Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the heavens declared the wonder of your Son's birth by a star shining in the sky. From afar, Magi traveled to see the newborn King and to worship him. Now I ask that our hearts begin this year with seeking the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And each one of us here forever be transformed and changed by your grace. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I've shared many times before, as you probably know, but going to share just a smidge again, I grew up traveling. Every summer, we would travel. Almost as school was done, packing would commence, and soon my mom and my siblings would be heading west for a long visit with relatives. From Bowie, Maryland, we would travel the Penn Turnpike to Chicago, and back then at the speed of 55 and slow, that's a 17-hour day of driving to my dad's older brother's home on the west side of Chicago in Des Plaines. From there, we'd head to the Twin Cities to either my dad's younger brother or my mom's older brother, because they lived on one side of the city and on the other side of the cities of the Twin Cities. Then from there, we'd either go up to the lake, to Brainerd, to my mom's older sister's place on the lake, or we'd head down to Decorah to my mom's mom, the place she was born and raised. And then oftentimes we would head back up to the Twin Cities to visit the other half we didn't see the first time we went through the Twin Cities. And we may go to another lake and do some more water skiing too. And as I look back, I really admire my mom. For usually these trips taking us west, she was doing all the driving. And it was summer after summer as we grew up. Oftentimes my dad would fly out and meet us for part of the trip and then fly back. Working in the Air Force, he didn't get that much time off, or didn't take that much time off, some of both. And we'd usually be gone on these trips out west to Iowa and Minnesota. We'd usually be gone 6 weeks to 2 months, or maybe even long, almost the whole summer, we'd be traveling. A couple of times, we even made it all the way west to Basin, Wyoming, to my mom's twin sister's place. And if you don't know what Basin is, Basin's outside of Cody. And Cody, Wyoming, is the east entrance of Yellowstone. The van at this time we had would be bicycles either on the back or bicycles on top. And even one time, we put a bumper mount on the front and took my 80cc motorcycle with us for summertime. I really enjoyed riding that. Traveling to see family was a part of my wife's childhood also. Visiting family in Cleveland and Chicago summer after summer. Only a couple times did my family travel at Christmas time. Heather's family would travel several Christmases from New York to Cleveland area. This Christmas, my wife's mom, Heather's mom, wanted family to get together for Christmas. So we struggled with our schedules. Okay, Heather's sister's off this time. Heather's sister-in-law's brother-in-law's off at this time. Have you experienced that, trying to figure everybody's schedule together? It's hard. So we managed to get the schedules fit together, and so Heather's sister and her brother-in-law would head over from Cleveland, bring in Marissa with them, since Marissa spent Christmas with them in Cleveland, and then we'd head up with Aria and on Thursday, and we'd arrive Thursday afternoon. They'd arrive about Thursday mid-afternoon. Well, that was the plan. Until, as we're driving up, at least for us, the tire pressure indicator on our Pilot came on. Now, that's unusual. It shouldn't do that. So stopping at the first rest area, I checked the tire. It was definitely low. Now, just the previous week, I had checked all the tires, because you know with this winter weather, cold, hot, real cold, your tires can lose pressure. So I just filled up all the van's tires and all the Pilot's tires. They were proper, so something wasn't right. Well, with tire pressure, check your tire pressures today, too. Make sure your tires are good. Well, I pulled out the Pilot's manual after I looked at the tire, and I go, that tire's going flat. So I pulled out the Pilot's manual, and locate everything, and I proceeded to change the tire. You know, first you got to crank down the spare from underneath the back of the pilot, the truck, and so on. And then you, before you jack it up, you loosen your lug nuts so you have the weight of the car on it so it doesn't turn. Jack it up. Okay, now how does this jack work? No problem, we got it going, got it up. Okay, will this jack be tall enough after, you know how it goes to crank it up. Took the spare off, took the main tire off, looked the sidewall. Somehow, something had scraped the inside sidewall. It could have been a couple weeks. It could have been one of the reasons a couple weeks ago that the air pressure was low. I don't remember hitting any debris on the road that day. But put the spare tire on, load it down, tighten the lug nuts. And I just have to tell you, is by God's grace, we're in a safe place to change the tire. We could have been along the highway. The tire could have blew. But by God's grace, we're in the comfort of a parking lot in a rest area. A stop to the restroom to wash my hands. Time for decision. Spare tires on. We're 60 miles from home and over 200 miles plus from Port Huron. I said, you know, it's safer to head home and get the van. So we headed north to the next exit, stopped at the gas station to make sure the spare tire was properly inflated. Now, I usually travel with tire gauges. Do you travel with tire gauges? This time I didn't have my tire gauge with me. So I just put air in the tires a couple days ago. They should be fine. So I had to buy a tire gauge. Put the air tire, put the pressure in the tire, made sure it was a 60 PSI, and we headed home. And on the way home, we called Port Huron. Heather's mom had said, we're going to be a little late. Well, a little late it was. Once home, I turned on the compressor, and you want to know what? I made sure the van spare tire was at 60 PSI, 65 PSI like it's supposed to. And honestly, I was tired. I was frustrated. I didn't want to go. I just wanted to stay home. Have you ever felt that way after an ordeal? Well, we loaded up the van. Family time together is important. And if I want to keep my mother-in-law happy, family time's important. And by the way, we had to get Marissa. So I loaded the van, and we headed to north, and we arrived in Port Huron about 4 hours later than we planned. Somehow, that inside tire of the sidewall was sliced. I don't know when it happened, but we had nice weather, a safe place to change the tire. We got home safely. We got up to Port Huron safely. God was watching over us so we could have a couple days with family. Now, what was supposed to be a short 270-mile, 5-hour trip ended up being 9.5 hours and a lot more miles traveling. You've experienced traveling. Now, could you imagine yourself as one of those magi or part of that caravan of traveling? Perhaps it began like this. Did you see it? Yeah, I saw it. What do you think of that sign in the sky? Something has happened of great importance. Yes, a great event has taken place. A king has been born. A king has been born. Hey, let's go see. Let's see this wonder. And then the planning commenced. For to travel at that time, it was not simply pack the car and go with plans, because there's fast food, there's rest areas, there's motels. You know, it's more akin to packing for a camping trip. You need your tent, you need your food, you need your water, you need. And so the conversation may have gone like this. I will gather the horses, camels, and mules we'll need. I'll arrange the tents, rugs, and blankets we need. I'll gather the food and drinks. Yes, we're going to be a great caravan to meet the newborn king. What may have sent them on this quest when that sign appeared in the sky? Possibly it was this. For years earlier, in the land of Mesopotamia, yes, that land of Mesopotamia. Make sure you say that word right. Mesopotamia. An oracle was given. An oracle by Balaam. Do you remember Balaam? He had a donkey that had the ability to talk to him when he was in trouble. Balaam was sent for by Balak, king of Moab, to come and curse Israel for a reward. King Balak wanted Balaam to curse Israel, and Balaam answered he could only say what the Lord told him to say. Three times Balak asked Balaam to curse Israel. Three times after sacrificing and meeting the Lord, Balaam blessed Israel. King Balak was furious and sent Balaam packing, sent him home. But Balaam said, I told you I can only say what the Lord God tells me to say. But before Balaam left, another oracle was given, a prophecy. And this prophecy is recorded in Numbers chapter 24. And in that prophecy found in Numbers chapter 24 of our Holy Scriptures, you will find this. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. A star. A scepter. A king to rule. A star will be the sign. And that sign in Jacob, meaning Israel, out of Israel will come a king. Now, this great effort to gather the caravan together and travel to Israel, that was a commitment to see it through, facing the hardship of traveling a great distance. This was a great distance they were traveling. We don't know how great a distance, but they came from the east is all we know. The Gospels of Matthew and Luke, they contain parts of the events of the birth of Jesus. Gospels of Mark and John are silent about these things about the birth of Jesus. Matthew alone describes the vision of the Magi from the east. And throughout the Gospel of Matthew, written again, remember, Matthew, Gospel of Matthew through is written for the Jewish hearer. It's from that perspective Matthew wrote. And in it you find the importance of the fulfillment of what the prophets had said in Scripture. You'll find this phrasing in some similar fashion throughout Matthew. Then what was said through the prophet was fulfilled. You'll find that phrase in some form like that 11 times in the Gospel of Matthew. That word fulfilled is in reference to Scripture being fulfilled in Jesus' life events and actions. And that word fulfilled, you find it 15 times in the Gospel of Matthew. So by including this events of the Magi, Matthew is able to include more of prophecy being fulfilled, that Jesus is the Christ. Matthew's showing the Scriptures being fulfilled, in particular, the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. This great entourage, it's a caravan, enters Jerusalem, causing great commotion. I remember just a few weeks ago, I was traveling east on Highway 70, coming back from North Fairfield. Traveling west on High 70, I saw a number of highway patrol cars. What's going on? I'm seeing flashing lights. And I see one, two, three. The Ohio State University buses pass. I bet it was the football team going to their Big Ten playoffs. A caravan, it turns people's heads. Now this caravan coming to Jerusalem, it wasn't just three guys on the back of camels. It was much more than that. It caught their attention. It caused a great commotion. Not only the sight of their arrival, they were questioning. They were going around and kept asking, and what they were asking disturbed the people. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. King Herod. He's known as Herod the Great because under his leadership, the expansion and enlarging of the temple took place. But Herod the Great was a ruthless, power-hungry ruler, and he would not allow anyone else to take his place. Though Herod oversaw massive building programs, he was ruthless, he was brutal. He killed his father-in-law, killed several of his 10 wives, two of his sons, and he ignored the laws of God to suit his own whims and desires. That's Herod the Great, who was Herod during Jesus' birth. So hearing this question of the Magi being rumored about and coming through Jerusalem, Herod calls the chief priests and teachers of the law, asks them, where is the Christ to be born? That word Christ means anointed. In the Hebrew, the word for anointed is Messiah. Where is the Messiah to be born? Now, these chief priests and teachers of law, they were easily able to answer that question. And they were ready with the reply right away, reciting the prophet Micah. You find a version of that in Matthew chapter 2, verse 6. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Herod knows the place. Now conniving, he needs to know the timing and secretly meets with the Magi to examine them closely to know accurately the timing. When did the star appear? Then Herod sent them to Bethlehem to find the child, then tell him where the child is, so, as Herod says, he can go to worship. But knowing Herod's character, which I had just described, did Herod have any intention to worship? No. Now, tradition hands down to us three names, Belshazzar, Gaspar, and Melchior. Most point to the 6th century mosaic commissioned by Emperor Justinian, where there are three wise men dressed in typical 6th century Persian attire. And in that mosaic, these three names you'll find, Belshazzar, Gaspar, and Melchior. Whether we know those three names, we don't know. But we know they traveled. Was it three? Three gifts. But tradition has handed those down. But what we do know is on the way to Bethlehem, the star shone before them. And that short trip, it's only about 5 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. This short trip passed very quickly. They were overjoyed. They saw the star. Now, can you just imagine the anticipation? The anticipation that is mounting and accumulating and swirling around in their innards for mile after mile after mile for these past 2 years. That's the timing we learned. 2 years. We know this time from Herod's actions, which Matthew shows us is another prophecy fulfilled, the weeping and wailing in the land. For that is the time Herod was able to extract from them. 2 years. Imagine. Imagine all that accumulated motion ready to burst. See yourself traveling, planning, traveling, and getting there. It's been 2 years. And you step into the house, and you see the child in the lap of the mother. Pay attention to what they did to understand what we do. They fell down. They fell down before the child. A great quest has brought them to this. Grown men coming to the purpose of their quest that has been driving their lives for these past up to 2 years. A quest that has brought them across the miles with great effort of setting camp, breaking camp, day in, day out, set camp, break camp, set camp, month after month. They traveled or more. And then all of a sudden, the emotion bursts forth. And we see them falling down prostrate before the child. These grown men, these travelers who traversed afar, fell down before the child. And they worshipped. Don't pass by that too fast. They worshipped. We don't know how long they stayed in that position worshiping. What we do know is their worship included the giving of gifts. The giving of gifts, the very best of the very best. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. In this we see what Paul writes about in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. We see in this early portion of Jesus' life what Paul describes as the mystery of the gospel. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Yes, Jesus is for all people. all people. It was hard for the first believers to understand that. They thought it was only for the Jews who believed. But then they came to understand the mystery. This gospel is for everybody. The forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ is for everybody. This good news must be proclaimed to everybody. And we must gather to worship. We must worship. The lesson we see here in the Magi is one of worship. And worship is worth the great effort. Worship is worth our time. Worship is worth giving of our very best gifts. Worship Christ. This worship we do is a powerful testimony to the world that Christ is the Son of God. This time we gather together in this commitment we have week in and week out to give our best is testimony Christ is worthy of worship. We gather to worship Christ for the great promise we received in Christ is worthy of worship. In Christ is the forgiveness of sins. In Christ we have redemption. In Christ we have eternal life. In Christ, we are made one, the body of Christ. The Magi, they traverse afar to worship. You and I can come down the street, around the corner, each week to gather in worship. They went through lots of effort and planning and hardship and expense to worship. You and I have the freedom to gather in worship. Make this year, 2020, a year that you set your heart to worship. Set your heart for that. You remember the old Lutheran perfect attendance pins that you gave out years and years ago? You know, that Luther heart, then the ring, then the bar, year one, year two, year. Remember those old? How many remember those old Luther perfect? I see some people. Somewhere in my stuff stored away, I have my perfect attendance pins from when I was a child. But I want you to strive for that this year. Perfect attendance because Christ is worth the worship. And I know we can do this. And as we worship together, we will behold the mighty hand of God moving in our midst and moving in our lives. We will behold the wonders of the living God because we gather to worship and give our very best. So make the plans, make the determination now, 2020, to set your heart to worship. So together, you and I, we will behold the mighty hand of God moving in our lives, moving in our midst. Amen and amen.